Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I am Dorian Wallace, and joined as always by my lovely sister Rena Starr. What are you laughing at? Are you cracking up at me?
I heard you hit the unmute button again.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I'm thinking this is the only way she can keep my fucking ass quiet. Oh. Before I start cursing, good evening, everybody, and you are you're listening to Desperate House Witches, and I don't know if desperation is really part of my scenario tonight, but fuck it, I'll go with it. For those who have not listened to the show before, in case you hadn't noticed, it is not a PG-rated show, it is not a G-rated show, it's rated X for extra fucking cursing, so please escort the children and anybody you don't want hearing this out of the room. We appreciate you. So anyway, it's Friday. Yeah. It is the 19th of July. These are good things. And I've had a long ass day of meetings and screaming and all kinds of different stresses, but I'll go into that in a minute. Do you want to give your shout out, Sister Dew?
I want to give my shout out to my cousin Jessica. If you're listening, I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you, Jess.
We love you, Jess. All right, so what's new in the fucking world this week? Do we have anything we seriously need to bitch about?
You know, actually, no. I think the world is, you know, at least my little world is righting itself. I do have to say hooray for karma and hooray to the universe for letting me see that karma in action. I love that when that happens.
Yeah, that can be fun. Just don't enjoy it too much. That level of schadenfreude is not healthy.
Exactly. So, I was like, oh, that was a surprise, and I'm done with it.
Well, there you go. That's good. Let's see, what's new in my world? Not a whole fuck lot. Like I said, today was a day of screaming and carrying on, beating people up. And I made an interesting move, and I did not tell you about this earlier because I wanted to talk to you about it on the air.
Uh-oh.
But here's what happened. I am technically in the broom closet as far as my daily life in my work situation, but not exactly. I've alluded to what I am. There are people who are people of importance in my company actually do know about me. But I was having a conversation today with a woman that I work with, and she is a very Christian, newly Christian, and you know what they say, a reformed anything is dangerous. But, you know, we talked about the situation where you have a person who's of the faith and somebody who's not. And, you know, I was talking about certain situations that I've been in as far as being what they call in the Bible unequally yoked, being with someone who isn't of the same faith, as it were. And I said to her, you know, yeah, I've been in situations that, you know, I mean, what I believe, quite frankly, is pre-Christian. Now, after I said it, I had to stop and think, oh, she probably thinks I'm Jewish because that's pre-Christian, not thinking she would go back any further. So I am edging my way out of the closet, as it were, and taking baby steps with that so that people are not quite so surprised when it comes out that, yes, in fact, I'm pagan and a witch at that. So, you know, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, I was able to kind of expose a little bit more about that today in my daily life, which was kind of cool. But,
yeah,
I mean, does it make me, like, you know, am I deceiving her because I didn't come out and say, guess what, I'm a witch? And you have to understand, working in the South, it's, you know, things are not quite met with the same level of tolerance in certain places as others. So
I was wondering
if that should be an ethical dilemma for me, because I didn't actually just come out and say, well, you know, I understand what you're saying about your relationship, but I'm a witch. I mean, you know what I mean? It just, it's not that I'm embarrassed by the word, because I'm not. It's that I know how it sounds to other people. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know, I do. I do. I don't,
you know.
Honestly, we're not under any obligation. I mean, be you a witch, be you a Christian, be you, you know, an agnostic. You know, I'm of the volition, like, you know, I don't know, in certain situations, it's just, you know what, no, I'm not talking to you about that. That's none of your business.
Well, you know, and I do appreciate that, and a lot of the time I do handle things that way, but the fact of the matter is that it was just, you know, it was someone I work with who was, you know, wanted to talk about her relationship, obviously, and asked for my opinion and contribution to the conversation. And it wasn't like anybody was asking me specifically, well, what do you believe? It was more of a general conversation about, you know, wanting to be with someone that's like you. You know,
yeah.
And being with someone who believes in the faith the same way. So it wasn't really a, you know, it wasn't one of these things, well, what do you believe? And then you stumble and stammer because you're not sure if you should say. It was just a conversation between two women about, you know, their feelings about people being of the same faith in a relationship. So it was kind of a natural evolution type of thing. I wasn't being railroaded or questioned. It was just a normal conversation, and it's the way that I've always hoped that we would be able to have conversations everywhere about who we are. You
yeah.
know, so I kind of feel like I said some things, and maybe I should have dropped the other shoe, or maybe I said just enough and I shouldn't feel guilty for not just saying it. But it was an interesting moment in the workplace, and she just, you know, she had no reaction about it at all, except, yeah, I understand it. Yeah, I agree. It's important to be with somebody who's, you know, following the same thing you are.
Yeah.
You know, so it was an interesting moment. I thought I'd share that little tidbit, so.
Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't feel guilty if I were you. You know, it's one of those. If it comes out, if you feel comfortable enough, then yeah, it's like, you know, then yeah, say something. But you know, generally, I mean, especially as intuitive as you are, I think you would have known that it would have been okay. So to speak, to say, you know, I understand,
maybe.
And this is possible.
That's possible. I don't know if that's just, you know, me trying to give myself a free pass. I probably should have just come out and said it, but I didn't feel like the time was quite right yet. But I mean, the more we do this show and the more people we talk to, it feels like I owe it to the gods to publicly acknowledge them. I'm working through struggles about, you know, identifying who I am to people. So y'all are just with me for the ride while I get this shit hammered out in my head. So deal with it. But aside from that, you know, a reasonable day. I had some things to deal with, as you know, and I got them dealt with, and we'll see how Monday goes, because that'll be interesting, because I might be shorthanded. We'll see. but that's going to be all right, Mama. It's going to be all right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm probably as not exciting as humanly possible for me. Oh, I would like to give a shout out to a friend of ours who just had a birthday, the Obstinate Buddhist. So, hey, Obstinate, happy birthday to you!
Yay!
Just wanted to give that shout out. And let's see, do I have any other shout outs? No. I have no other shout-outs tonight. That was it. You got it. I just blew the load, as it were. I'm sorry. Go ahead, babe.
No. It's okay. I was going to say, I don't want people to think that we're, like, trying to be insensitive, because we definitely have our opinions about the whole Trayvon Martin thing.
Yes.
But me personally, I don't want to get into it, because I get far too angry about it. So, but our families.
Yeah, definitely. I gotta tell you, I do have an opinion. Gee, what a surprise! And yeah, right. And I have to kind of say, I'm not surprised, but horribly disappointed.
Yeah,
not at all surprised, and quite frankly, it has been more than one time that my child has worn a hoodie. Now, I know you can make the argument that my child is a white kid, but you know what? In the dark, under a hoodie, you don't know who the fuck you're dealing with. You've got to be way up close on them to know who you're dealing with in that situation. And the fact of the matter, and I'm sorry, sis, I'm going there. The fact of the matter is that if this guy Zimmerman had done what he was told to do, which was stand down, do not engage the situation, because there was no situation, he wouldn't have known. He had not from what he described, the way he described the situation. You know, the kid was some kind of a potential threat. The kid was no threat. He had to get up on the kid to see who the kid was and then made his assumption from there. So I am very sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, justice got away from us one more fucking time, and not cool, just not fucking cool. And it scares me for a lot of people, and not just black people. Everybody, because any target is like fair game in certain places of the world, and it's crazy. They made this child a target, and the legal system failed him, failed his family, and failed us. I feel really let down.
I did too, and it honestly, it brought back really bad memories. I know it's not the exact same thing. It's, you know, it's different situations, but it's the same unfairness and the same wrong conclusion as the LA riots. There are, you know, the Rodney King case, which
yeah.
I was living in California when that happened, and
yeah.
I still sometimes have nightmares about that shit. You know, it's just, I just don't understand what the hell is going on with this world. You know, I mean, you find these beautiful moments and then that kind of shit happens. It's like, seriously? I just, but anyway, see, that's, I don't want to get emotional, so I don't want to.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. No, believe me, speak your mind. That's what we're here for. You know, it's just I personally, I can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've given you my opinion on that, and it wasn't a good one. So There you go. You got your cards out, chick?
Yeah, I sure did. Or I sure do. I sure did.
And mind you, folks, she's the one that's the writer. Okay. Are you shuffling?
I know. I speak good. Yes. Every day I'm shuffling.
Thank you.
All right, hold on. Let me shuffle a couple more times. There I go, saying, hold on. See, I caught myself that time.
You did. I'm proud of you. My
half the time,
Gloria.
I don't even realize I say it.
We've been on the air for a year and a half almost, and Dorian has finally figured out that when she says hold on, she's saying it on the radio, which is hilarious.
All right, how
this
many?
Is five. Ready?
Five.
One,
pull.
Two, three, four, five. What all do we got? Yeah.
All right. Let's see what we got.
Oh, I've got a quick. I have a very quick one. It is a very quick one. It is very to the point.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do mine first. Okay. New partnership leads to unhappiness. There is this, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to read all the cards, what the cards are first, and then I'm going to tell you what this is about. New partnership leads to unhappiness, caution, possible involvement in lawsuit, a secret transaction, invitation to a party, and instability. And do you want to know what I get out of this reading?
What?
I'm going to tell you. This is a male. This male was involved in a theft. This male was involved in a theft and is going to be taken to court. And this person is in the process of being set up by the party that they offended, and they are going to get snagged.
Uh-oh.
That's the reading. Bitch, you fucked up. Somebody is knowing about it, and they're going to find your ass. So, unfortunately, this involves somebody who's one of our listeners. So, I'm just going to tell you right now, what you screwed up, you're going to have to make right. They know who you are, and they are in the process of figuring out how to set your ass up. And you are going to be pretty damn embarrassed about it because you are in the wrong.
Oh.
That is the reading. And I am sorry that I came across real heavy duty on that one. But when the cards say it like that, I say it like that. There you go.
Yeah, and just a little piece of advice for the person that was for. Go apologize and make amends first. You know,
yeah.
It's always better to fess up, even if you think, if, you know, it's better to have that person mad at you for a little while, you know, than to go out and try to ruin your life. That's just, wow. Oh, I would not want to be him.
Yeah, me neither.
All right, let me see what I got. I pulled them kind of quick, so this is kind of back and forth.
Okay.
The first three are definitely not so good. So I'm going to read the same way that you read yours.
Okay.
First one is a letter brings bad news. Two, unlucky, caution needed. Three, encounter with a stranger brings unhappiness. Four, increased profits. Five, love, labor lost. So,
wow.
I feel like this is somebody who has been teetering on the edge for quite a while as far as they don't make a whole lot of money and they're trying to hang on to a place that they can't hang on to, and they are going to wind up getting booted. So if that sounds like you, I would start looking for a smaller, cheaper place. I know you love that particular spot. There's a reason why you don't need to be there.
Yeah.
I think Encounter with a Stranger brings unhappiness. I would get out now because, you know, that's another possibility. It's becoming more of a dangerous neighborhood. So that's another reason. Vamoose. Increased profits. This will come after you finally listen to the gods and listen to the signs or pay attention to the signs you're being shown. There's a reason this is all happening. I know you want to hide your head in the sand, but you need to go. You need to move. Once that happens, and it's going to piss you off at first because it's going to be like, why couldn't I make this money when I was there? It's kind of like Murphy's Law, but there's a reason why you're going to get the money after. And you're going to enjoy the new place, and it's not going to be permanent because you're going to be moving on to someplace better. So, Love's Labor Lost, don't put too much of an effort into the secondary place, and especially not the first place. You know, quit being so stubborn and just let it go, baby. Let it go. And that's my read.
That's interesting shit. Wow. Is that male or female, do you know?
That's definitely a female. And she's on the younger side, I would say in early 20s.
Oh, okay. That's a much younger female. All right.
Yeah. No, it's not who you're thinking. I don't know who that is, but no, it's not who the hell you're thinking.
Oh, my goodness. Is it almost... It's almost time for our guest. Is she anywhere nearby or hanging around? Or do you have something else you want to address?
Well, we've got about 10 more minutes. We'll wait for her to come by. And this should be interesting because, you know, as you guys know, hopefully, or if you're just tuning in just because you saw us live on the air, Miss Dorothy Morrison is coming to join us again.
Yay.
Yay!
She's awesome. I'm in need of her wisdom. Just sitting and listening to her, I feel like I get smarter just hearing what she has to say, which is good because you know, sometimes I get really brain fried. Do you know what I mean? And she's just got that, you know, way about her that she just makes you feel like it's going to be all right. Don't worry.
Exactly. She's got that Southern hoodoo, you know, charm and soothing and just, she's like a big old piece of apple pie. Eat her up. I'm getting all weird now.
Oh, my
like,
goodness.
I ain't calling them bitches.
Them chicks are sick. I am not going on that show again. No, you know what? I think bless her heart. She puts up with my strangeness, though. I'm grateful. Well, you put up with my strangeness too, so I'm grateful for that as well. But
you are so. Well, maybe not just the strange. I'm strange in different ways, but we complement each other. We go well together, like, you know, peanut butter and jelly.
I have to admit something. I have never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in my entire life, so I don't even understand the reference. But that's never. My mother did not believe in peanut butter and jelly. Never had it in my house. Never. Don't even know what it tastes like. Not a clue. I told you, strange parents. I know, I'm deprived. Or depraved. Or a little bit of both. You're going to make me one?
Yeah, I'll make you peanut butter and jelly.
My sister's going to make me peanut butter and jelly. Oh, I did have something I wanted to address. Thank you for reminding me. We have on our show this thing where we love to talk about small businesses and how much we love, you know, bringing to the fore pagan small businesses. Well, there was a posting from Valhalla Soap and Botanical Company about a new soap that she was just coming out with. And please go visit that site, valhallasoap.com. Fucking fabulous, amazing scents, amazing people. Our friend, Donna, who creates these amazing soaps, got robbed by Ask.com, I believe, or about.com. They gave away one of her recipes without her permission. I about had a conniption when I heard this shit. I understand about wanting to share information and thinking you're doing a good thing, but when you take money out of the pocket of a small pagan business, you're hurting our entire community. And I would encourage folks to please not frequent or like or join up on these spots, because it's really not legal to just take somebody's soap recipe, oil recipe, whatever it is, and just give it away. That's how this person is making a living, and I'm sure you would not want it done to you. So, and that kind of rankled me a bit the other day, because it's just not cool. It's not cool. It's not cool to steal music. I know Napster became big many, many years ago, but the fact of the matter is the state of the music industry has suffered because of it. So please think before you do that sort of stuff, because somebody's intellectual property really does belong to them and should not be given away without their express permission. So that's my little thing for today. That's my PSA for today.
And
don't give someone else's shit away.
Yeah, I don't know if you got the same message. You might want to check, but he actually wrote me personally, and I'm hoping that he wrote to Donna and everybody else as well. But he actually apologized.
And that's fine, and I heard that he apologized. I did not get a personal message, nor do I require one. But the fact of the matter is that, and yes, I am aware that the person has apologized. I'm just saying,
okay,
for future reference, if you ever see somebody stealing something from somebody in our community, please speak up about it. I'm very glad that this person, entity, whatever, apologized, but that was really inexcusable, and you have to think people really do know better. And it took way too damn long for the apology, in my personal opinion.
It was
more than 24 hours later, and I'm sorry, we were on the discussion thing about it right as soon as it happened, almost immediately after it was posted, as a matter of fact, because one of the first posts about it, I think the second post was mine, and it went on for many, many, many hours, and that it didn't have to. That apology could have been made a lot sooner. So I'm just saying, not beating everybody up over it, but please don't steal somebody else's property that way. Please don't do that. It's so uncool. All right, I'm done bitching for now.
You're not. I'm kidding.
I know. That's why I went back and put the caveat on it. Okay, for now.
There you go.
For now. 10 minutes could be a completely different story, but for now, I'm done. But So you have nothing new to report? I hardly believe it.
I kind of wish I did. I don't. I mean, but then again, you know, no news is good news. You know, aside from, you know, the little bit of good news that I got the other day, but you know, it's like, no, I like it when it's quiet because people ain't up my ass bugging me. Now, I do have one thing. I am going to be starting to make, like, because I run Cobalt Raven's Magical Notions, and I'm going to be working on putting spell kits together.
Yay!
Like, you know, not trying to be in competition with Dorothy, but, you know, these are, like, really elaborate spell kits. So, you know, She's awesome. She does really good, quick and easy, and they work. And please go to our Desperate House Witches Facebook page or our blog, and you can find all her links to the Wicked Witches Studio, all her,
yes,
her books and all that. Oh, my God. Yeah, that, oh, I love the scent of her money spell. It was, oh, I could bathe in that stuff.
I like the scent of anybody's money. I'll bathe in your money if you lay it out for me. Come on now.
There you go. And also, yeah, that would be a very short bath.
I gotta add more water. Add more water to this bitch. Oh, lovely.
Yeah. There you go. Bring me some water.
She's going to start singing. We're all going to be in trouble.
I'm not. I stopped myself because, believe me, don't go chasing waterfalls started crossing my mind.
This show is going to end in 5 minutes. Five.
I No, you can't because Dorothy's here.
Oh,
I'm going to pull her
okay.
on.
Yeah, save me. Save me.
Hi, baby.
Hi there. How are you?
Oh, I love you.
You love me?
I love you.
Oh, God. So who needs saving and why?
Well, I love you because you're fabulous. I love you because I have missed the sound of your voice. I love you because in spite of everything you've gone through, you've still been able to talk about it with 99% a sense of humor, which I love. And I want to hear all about all the things. I mean, I've read a lot of what happened to you during this last move, but I don't know if everybody else is aware of all of the craziness you went through. So I've been, like, waiting to hear.
Oh, God. Well, first of all, let me tell both of you that by the time I got your message saying that I was 20 minutes away from you last week.
Yes, ma'am.
It was the next damn day.
That's right,
oh, my goodness.
I sent Darcy a message, and I said, we're 20 minutes from where you are. I'll come see you. And I never heard from her again.
Well, yeah, because my Wi-Fi got spotty, and so I just turned off my tablet. And... because by God, we could have had a drink or something.
It seemed like you needed one. I was more than happy to take you out, and you just kept driving. I'm like, okay.
Well, I was on a mission by God.
by all of them, probably.
Oh, my God. This has been a crazy couple of months. You know, my husband's company moves us around a lot, and so we have moved a lot. And you would think that I would have this down pat by now, but we lived at the last place for 6 years, and that's the longest we've been anywhere. Because with his company, we could be someplace, you know, 6 months or 5 years, and we never know till about a month before that we're going to move.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I thought I had all this stuff down pat. Well, what happened was the moving coordinator moved my packers and movers up 2 days on me.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh,
and,
no.
And so I did the Pagan Unity Festival in Tennessee, and I came home, and the next day I had packers.
Oh,
yes, and so these two little Hispanic gals show up to pack, and when the estimator had come, I told him, "Look, make damn sure that we have a lot of stuff." And he's looking at it and he's writing down. I said, "Make sure there are plenty of boxes and there are enough people to pack."
Yep.
And so when the two little gals show up, only two to pack.
Oh.
Yes.
How?
I said, oh, you're going to get all this in 1 day. Well, no, then they show me that they're going to be there 2 days instead.
Oh, no.
So, okay, fine. Well, so they're looking at stuff, and one of them doesn't speak English well.
Okay.
And she looks, and they open up my jelly cabinet, and this little girl gets this really funny look on her face, and she starts spouting off something in Spanish. And the other one says, "Don't worry, they're just herbs. I have I have little jars of herbs, jillions, probably 300, right? All over."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so anyway, so that kind of calmed her down. But she starts in my office.
Uh-oh.
And I have to tell you that my office was like, I don't know, 10 by 10 maybe.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just my office. It was also my sewing room. And it was everything. And I had huge closet in there that I hadn't been able to get into in 2 years because I had a cutting table in front of it. and it was jam-packed with stuff. So she decides she's going to start in my office, so that means I've got to disconnect my computer, and I wasn't ready to do that yet, but I had to. So I've got my back turned to her, and I start disconnecting my computer, and I hear something that sounds like the tinkle of glass.
Oh, no.
And at this point, I am so undone that I don't even bother to turn around. And she doesn't say anything. And so fortunately what was broken was not a big deal. I found out about it after we got moved. But so I had 2 days of them. Well, actually had 2 days of both of them. The next day, I just had the one that spoke English.
Okay.
But it took all day long for that girl to pack my office.
Oh, jeez.
Because you have no, and she worked all day. I mean, it wasn't that she was slacking off, but there was that much stuff. So, all right, fine. And I had already moved all the fabric. You're not even going to believe this, 6 64-quart tubs of fabric I moved already.
Wow!
You know, when I tell people that I have enough fabric to open a fabric store, I'm not kidding. I do.
Obviously, apparently.
Yes. So, and bolts, too. That, you know, that was aside from the bolts of fabric. So, all right, fine. So they finally get everything done, and so the next day I have movers, and these guys are fabulous. They really really are, and they get everything done. We get to the place the next day, and we rented this townhouse, and I was all excited about this because I was going to have 300 more square feet.
Wow.
Well, and I measured. You're not even going to believe this, but you know I've got a Virgo rising. I even drew things. I drew the rooms to scale. And put my finger in it, okay? I measured, and I knew exactly where things were going to have to go, and I even told the guys when they were putting things on the truck, this stuff has to go first because all this stuff has to come off in this order so that this furniture is arranged right, so I don't have to break my back doing this. Okay, so I'm all excited. What I don't realize at the time is that, well, a couple things. 300 more square feet sounds great, except it's not well appointed.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. I have 300 more square feet in places I don't need it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where it is. Yeah, it matters where it's laid out. It's definitely important.
And, an extra foot in a closet makes a lot of difference. Yeah, okay.
Love
my closets. Yeah, I've got a lot of closets, but they're not big enough.
No.
So, all right. So everything is rocking along fine with the guys. We get over to the new place. It's all good. And then it comes time to get my bed upstairs to the master bedroom.
Oh, no.
Well, I have an antique hand-carved mahogany four-poster canopy.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And it's gorgeous, and I love it. And so, you know, they've taken it all apart, and they're going to go up with the headboard, and it doesn't fit. It won't go up the stairs.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. So they say, well, you know, it would go up the stairs if we took the banister down, but if we take the banister down, you know that's going to damage stuff, and they're going to charge you for that. And, which is true. And I went, oh, no, can't do that. I said, I don't know what we're going to do. And, of course, my husband's at work, right?
Right.
But you know, it probably wouldn't have mattered because he would have just kind of shrugged his shoulders at me anyway. So this guy that's in charge of the move says, "Well, you know, we have a, we happen to know of a furniture refinisher who can cut your headboard in half and put it back together."
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know. I went, "Oh my God!" I said, "Just." You guys take a break. I need to sit here and think for a minute. So finally I thought, okay, this is ridiculous. So off to the rental office I go. And so I asked this manager, I said, first I asked the guy in the office, I said, "You know, we need to do this. Can we get maintenance to take the banister down? Because if they take it down and they damage stuff, you know, I'm not responsible."
Exactly.
And he says, "Oh, well, they don't like to do that." I said, "Well, that's not what I asked you. I asked you if they will." And, you know, and I explained the situation. He says, "Well, you know, you're going to have to talk to the manager." So I asked her about it, and she said, and I said, "You know, and have it, you know, put back just in a little while." She says, "Well, what do you mean by a little while?" I said, "Can we have the banister down for an hour?" And she said, "No, try again."
Whoa.
Whoa.
And she, you know, and she's young enough. This woman is young enough to be my granddaughter, okay? So so now I've got my hands behind my back so I don't smack her.
And I said,
"Well, can we have it down for 30 minutes? She said, "Absolutely not." I said, "Well, suppose you tell me how long we can have it down." And she said, "No longer than 15 minutes. And I said, "And why is that?" She said, "Because if someone falls off those stairs, it's going to be our responsibility." And I said, "No, it's not. I have triple the renter's insurance that you require me to have. And if they fall off my stairs, that'll cover it." She said, "No, because the first question is going to be who took down the banister, and when it's discovered that we did it, then it's going to be on us." I said, "Okay, fine." So, you know, and this is Memorial Day weekend.
on top of everything else.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And so I said, "Okay, so how late is maintenance working today?" And she told me, and I said, "And so if I call 15 minutes before I need this done, then that should be plenty of time, right?" And she said, "Yeah, fine." So, okay, fine. I go back. I tell the guys, "Everything's cool. It's going to be an hour and a half before they get to, they can go ahead and get this other thing up, but they're going to put the bed aside. And I've got a computer armoire that's also mahogany. That has to go up to my office. So I want to wait until they get to that so that it can all go up at once." Fine.
Right.
No, maintenance shows up immediately.
Oh,
I don't call. They just show up. And so I explained that to them. And they went, "Well, you know, lady, as far as we're concerned," he said, "you don't have little kids, do you?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, as far as we're concerned, this can stay down until Tuesday."
Oh, no.
I said, "That's not what your manager said." He said, "Oh, the hell with that." He said, "You know, just call us, lady, you know, we're going to take it down now. Just call us whenever you're ready for it to go back up." Fine.
Oh, that's a relief.
Yeah, so the bed comes up. The armoire weighs a ton.
Ooh.
The only thing I did not measure in the house was the ceiling overhang from the stairs. Straight up.
Oh, no.
Armoire won't go up.
Oh, no.
And so, my computer armoire is now in our dining room.
Oh, boy.
And I don't have a desk. Not anymore. I have a conference table in my office.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, Faith. Really.
It was. I mean, it was just one thing after another, after another, after another. And the problem with the armoire was all of my office supplies, my candle inventory goes in the top part of it. So now what has happened is I actually have two rooms upstairs. I have an office and I have a sewing room, except that nothing, I just wanted the sewing room for the sewing studio. Oh, no. Most of my hexology stuff is in there, too, because nothing fits where it's supposed to fit.
Oh,
and the candles are downstairs in the computer armoire. So this is, and we're going to be here, we think, for 5 years.
Oh, great.
No.
Yeah. So this is constant. In the middle of all this, Oh, I'm God, absolutely fine, and all of a sudden, I get up from a chair, and I don't get up wrong, but there's something wrong with my hip.
Oh, no.
It hurts like hell. Well, we're not here, but I don't know, a week or so, and I have to do, I have to get everything ready because I've got to do the International New Age Trade Show in Denver.
Right.
So I'm not, so all the boxes are out of here. But I'm still trying to do, you know, figure out what I'm going to do with all this stuff. You will not believe what Goodwill has gotten.
Oh, no.
I mean, I finally got to the point, it's like, I don't have room for it. Throw it in a box. Send it off. You know, I hardly have, you know, I have given away clothes. I've got a closet full right now, and I'm trying to decide if I want to photograph them and put them on eBay or not. I've got a closet full of evening gowns.
Wow.
Ooh.
Some of them still have price tags on them.
I believe it.
And you know, it's like, you know, how often am I going to wear them anyway? And so, you know, I'm debating on what I'm going to do with all that stuff. It's almost livable in here now, almost. But it has been constant, you know, because I've had orders. So I've had to stop doing things and so on and so forth. And I'm not bitching. But one thing I'll say about this house is that business has never been so good.
Yay!
It's just that everything is inconvenient, you know. And it's like, oh man. So yeah, it's been a mess. And so finally, what I did, and then I couldn't find stuff. You know, I would see it, and I would get ready to put it on the wall, and it couldn't be found. It would have like disappeared into this deep black hole. So.
Wow.
So when I finally, you know, a lot of people go to the trouble before they move in to clear the house, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to, but you know what? I said a lot of people do it. A lot of people talk about it. Most people don't do it because they don't have the damn time.
True.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll do this. And so it occurred to me that there were all kinds of interesting things going on. You know, my first clue was we'd been here 3 days. 11 o'clock at night, there's a knock on the door. It's the county police.
What? What?
Yes. Yes. And so, after I got, of course, my husband's sound asleep. He sleeps through it all, right? So I go down the stairs, and of course, when somebody knocks on your door, late at night, you're not supposed to flip on the porch light. Because, you know, it could be somebody, you know, you don't want to know that you're home. So I hear out, you know, who is it? It's the county police. Let me see your ID. You know, I open the door. Apparently, they're looking for some guy who they thought had lived here.
Oh,
and
wow.
Because he's missing. Fine. Okay, so, you know, I invite the officer in. We talk. I get the third degree. Hell, I thought they were going to, you know, come in and search the damn house. But, you know, I explained to them, you know, who I was and you know, that we just moved in, blah, 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 blah. I showed her our lease agreement.
Right.
And so, fine, she goes away. The next day, there are... And mind you, this is a very nice neighborhood. The next day, two ladies show up at my door. They're looking for the same guy.
Huh. Wow.
And I said, are you, and it looked like maybe, you know, mama and sister, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I said, well, have you been to the rental office? And I said, well, no, you know, he was living with the people who had lived here, and we don't know whose name was on the lease. So, fine. 3 days later, somebody comes to serve him a warrant.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. And 4 days later, I look out, I hear all this racket, I look out, and there are 7 police cars, and they've got somebody across the way sitting in handcuffs on the ground. No, this was something entirely unrelated.
Oh, no,
Sarge. then our neighbor tells us, oh, and then I decide that I need to water plants outside, and my spigot doesn't work outside, so I have Mark go out there and, you know, diddle around to get the water coming out of the spigot. The next thing we know, that has flooded our next door neighbor's place.
Yeah.
So I decide, and then the next door neighbor says, you know, because we've got all these brand new appliances and everything, look like they've never been used. Next door neighbor says, oh, yeah, they had to because the people who were there before you completely trashed the place.
Oh, God.
So, all right, fine. So I decide that part of this problem is that we've got leftover energy in here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of people will sage things.
Yes.
And that's okay, except I can't stand the smell of burning sage.
Really?
Oh, my God. That is the nastiest smell in the world. It smells like the it smells like the Thanksgiving turkey caught on fire, you know? Yeah.
That's funny because I use sage on my turkey.
Oh, my God. Honey, I'm going to...
What did you lose?
Are you there?
You didn't know they get the shit.
Okay. Yeah, something happened there. Anyway, you know, I would just as soon be fucked with as have to smell sage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an indictment on sage I've never heard before.
Oh, God.
So what did you do instead? Oh, my gosh.
Well, I got out Tornado Alley because it's uncrossing.
There you go.
And I dabbed all the light bulbs, and I set this candle in the central part of the house, and got it going and stuff because Tornado Alley clears out everything. The problem is that it's kind of like it works kind of like Van does, only I think it's stronger. It clears everything, both good and bad. It just like gives you a clean slate. And of course, you know, it's a 60-hour candle.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you know, so I did this, you know, in several day increments. But you know what? Everything straightened out after that.
Oh, that's perfect.
Well, finally perfect. But you know, I'm apparently a slow learner. You know, how many damn things have to happen, right? You know, just it was just all kinds of and not only that, it was like I had called to get the electric turned off in the other place.
Yeah.
And, you know, and even that was a pain in the butt. Getting the utilities turned off and turned on again in a new place, that was a real big pain in the ass. I'm the one that had all these damn utilities turned on in the other place. Well, because I had them put in Mark's name, now I discover when I get ready to have them disconnected, I can't do that.
No, Mark has to do that.
What? Yes, even though I'm the one set it up, okay?
Yeah, but she put it in his name. So, yeah, he's the one who has to turn it off this. Yeah, that's how they set it up. I understand. Yeah, I know how that works. It's crazy.
Yeah. But you know what? Then they shouldn't have ever let me set it up in his name.
I know. How could you let somebody set something up in somebody else's name and then say you can't turn it off?
Well, exactly. So anyway, so that was all a big pain in the butt. But I finally talked the electric company into this. Everything is lovely until we get to the new place, completely different electric company, and we find up getting a bill for a whole month that we weren't even there.
That
sucks. So I pick up the phone and I call them.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, they have to talk to Mark. So when Mark talks to them, they say, well, we see that it was that there was a request for disconnect put in, but apparently it didn't go through.
And so, this is your fault, how?
Exactly. Well, that's okay. We got a reimbursement. This was after the Tornado Alley. Okay, we got a reimbursement, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, oh, my God. You know, I hope that no one ever has this kind of mess again. And I won't even get into how to become legal in the state of Maryland. My God. If I had known it was going to be this much trouble, ladies, I'd tell Mark to just have them put him up in a hotel during the week, and he could come home on weekends.
Wow.
I'm serious.
Oh, you've been through it.
I'm so sorry you had. Yeah.
Well, it's,
sorry.
Well, honey, you know it's all right. I realize that I will not have a month where I don't have to go anywhere until September.
Yay! Wow, a break.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So. Anyway, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. But you know, let this be a lesson to everybody. If you're going to move into a new place, clear it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't move one thing in before you clear it. And, you know, and there are lots and lots of ways to do that. If... You know, if you don't have stuff in it, but you need to make sure that you do this in some kind of a fireproof dish, and you also probably need to open windows and doors if you're going to pull this stunt, because otherwise your smoke alarms are going to go off and stuff. But frankincense and dragon's blood, if you can't stand the smell of sage, they're powerful. Burn that resin on charcoal in a central place in your house. Actually, you know, you could put that in an aluminum pie plate inside a cast iron skillet on the stove.
Good idea.
You know,
that is
and then of course,
good idea.
Yeah, it's you know, it's amazing. But you do want your windows and doors open when you do this. And the other thing is, you know, when you're going to clear something like that, clear a building, always make sure that your windows, at least your windows, are cracked. And your doors are open if possible, because if you've got nasty stuff in your house and you just burn the stuff to clear it out, it doesn't have anywhere to go. You're sealing it in.
Yeah. Excellent point. Not something I necessarily would have thought of. Thank you. My knowledge from Dorothy for tonight. Thank you. I learned something every... No, see, and this is something I say all the time, and sis, you can attest to this. I always say, whenever we talk to Dorothy, I learn something that I did not realize or think about before. And I have to tell you how much I appreciate that about you, because you're such a font of knowledge, and I'm not kissing your ass, because I know I don't have to do that. But it's really true. I mean, I love listening to you, because I always learn something.
Aw, thank you. Well, here's the other thing. Once you're done with all that clearance stuff, you want to close your windows and doors, and then you want to salt things. And I think the easiest way to do that is to put like a handful of table salt in like a 16-ounce spray bottle, just a regular old spray bottle, you know, maybe a half cup of salt in there and hot water. And shake it up real good, and then spray your baseboards. Start at the back of the house and come forward, you know, with it. And then I like, if it's a regular freestanding house and not an apartment, then, you know, mix up some more salt water and go around the perimeter of your house.
Ooh.
So you also seal that. Because
that
bad stuff can't cross salt.
Wow, that's a great idea. I never thought about putting salt in water and spraying it like that. That just makes That makes so much more sense than trying to throw salt down and stepping on it later, which I have done. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I've done it too. And then if you live in a humid area, then it gets sticky.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And
we do live in a humid area.
Yes. So, anyway, these are just good things to know. And see, I'm real good at spouting this, but obviously, in the middle of that move, I didn't think about doing this stuff until later.
Yeah, well.
Duh.
We are benefiting from... we're benefiting from, you know, the things that happened to you, and I appreciate, I mean, I'm sorry you went through it, but I appreciate the information.
Well, you know, I told Mark that I certainly hope this was the last job, and then he would retire.
There you go.
I'm not moving again, damn it.
Yeah, I told him, you know, when you retire, I want that to be the last move. I really do. So I think he's going to, if they move him someplace else fairly soon, I think they're going to have to pull me out of here kicking and screaming because I don't want to have to repeat this mess.
I don't
blame you. Know?
No, I don't
blame you.
Yeah, even to get legal here, well, you wouldn't even believe what I had to go through, how many licenses I had to get and how much money I had to spend even to have an online business here.
Really?
Yeah, really. And I got tickled today. I got something from the Department of Labor today saying after reviewing my file, they realized that I really didn't have to make payments for unemployment insurance since I was a sole proprietorship and since I didn't really have employees. And I thought, well, thank you, Jesus. Good Lord. But I said that because it was signed by Jesus somebody. And so I showed that to Mark and I said, Jesus says I don't owe them money.
I love that.
So can I now tell people that Dorothy Morrison found Jesus? She knows where he is. Go ask her.
Yes.
He's in Annapolis. That's
awesome. So keep him there, please.
Yes, in the labor department. That's
oh,
that's too funny.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was bad, but so good at the same time.
well, you know, if you didn't have these little humorous things occur once in a while, you know, you'd cry.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, and besides, I saw something the other day on the news that says laughter keeps people from having heart attacks.
Well, that's a good thing.
So, that's good. I'll keep laughing.
Yeah, it keeps people from choking other people, too.
Yeah,
well,
no
yes,
doubt.
It does. Yes, it does. Obviously. So anyway, so how are y'all?
We're boring.
You're boring?
We have, you know, it's funny because before you came on the air, we talked a little bit about the Trayvon Martin thing, and I can't talk about it too much because Dorian gets really upset, and I love my sister, and I don't want to upset her, but, I mean, we had definite opinions on that. And then we were talking about, you know, a situation I had at work today. I'm recapping, folks. Those of you who have been listening during the whole show have heard all this already, but I'm talking to the guests. I was talking about a situation I had at work where we were talking about being with a partner who is not necessarily of the same path, religious-wise. And I had, you know, and I kind of admitted on the air that I didn't fully disclose what I believe. And it wasn't like I was being pressured to, but I decided that, you know, and it wasn't even a decision. It was just a question about being with someone who's not on the same path, religiously. So, you know, I kind of said, well, you know, what I believe is pre-Christian, so, you know, there aren't a lot of people who believe that. Now, being in the South, I went to the assumption that she assumed I was Jewish. But, I mean, it wasn't like it needed a firm answer and it wasn't questioned. It just kind of got glossed over like no big deal. So I was kind of, you know, I said to sis, you know, did I cheat the gods with this by not just proclaiming them immediately? Because, you know, a lot of people in the South, as you well know, are in the closet, the broom closet still.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily accepted here the way it would be in other regions of the country.
Yeah.
So that was my big deal today.
So
what's your opinion on that?
You know, I think that somebody's religion should be as personal to them as their sex life. I don't think it's anybody's business. You know, when you meet somebody, the first thing you say to them is not, "Hello, my name is Sally, and I'm a Southern Baptist."
That's true. But around here, they will ask you when they first meet you. You know, I don't know how many times I've had this asked. It's like, "Oh, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so, and what church do you go to?"
Yeah.
And it's like, me personally, I've got, you know, I don't have to be in the closet, which I feel very fortunate about, you know, but I actually, I'm still friends with them. I don't go very often, but, you know, I'll tell them, "Oh, you know, I'm with the North Carolina Piedmont Church of Wicca," you know, which they're really good friends of mine. They're like, "What's that?"
Oh, God.
I'm very confused.
Well, you know, we lived in Alabama for a short time. And there, when you went to the bank to deposit your check, they gave you a church bulletin with your receipt. I'm serious.
Oh, nice.
And, and you know, when people would ask me what church I went to, I would tell them, "Oh, I'm still checking them all out."
And that
was the end of it, you know? So, you know, unless somebody asks me the right questions, normally, I mean, they have to ask me the right questions because there are certain things that I only disclose on a need-to-know basis.
Yeah.
And it's made things a lot easier for me over the years because I've lived in a lot of extremely conservative areas.
Right.
And, but, you know, and what I have learned is that, you know, there are those people who will say, "Oh, you have to educate." Well, guess what? You know, people who don't want to be educated will not be.
That's true.
There you go.
That's
and
true.
So, you know, you're just causing trouble for yourself if you want to educate people who are not interested in being educated. You know, my theory is if you don't want to be burned at the stake, you don't tell people where you hit the gas can.
Well, that's true.
There you
that's
go.
True.
So, I guess I've just got some you know, you were talking about being opinionated. Well, guess what? I'm opinionated too.
I like it.
and I have to tell you that I'm glad that I wasn't on when y'all were discussing that case because I have my own opinions about that but you know what? I guess it's probably I feel sorry for both parties.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just do. Okay. You know, a couple lost a son.
Yep.
Okay. George Zimmerman has had to be in hiding all this time. This has not been good for anybody. And, you know, the thing about the parents both saying that was their child calling for help.
I remember
no
that.
Parent,
yeah.
No parent wants to believe that their child has done anything wrong.
That's true.
Okay? So,
exactly.
You know, I can see both ends of this. My biggest problem, and this is probably going to piss off some people, but my biggest problem is that this seems to have turned into a race issue. And George Zimmerman is Hispanic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true.
Okay,
that's true.
And when he called us into dispatch, they asked if, you know, that dispatch asked if this person was black, and he said they were dark skinned, and he says, "Is he black?" And he says, "I don't know," and he didn't. So, you know, I think that this has turned into something that it shouldn't have turned into.
Mm-hmm.
It should never
yeah.
have happened, okay? But
yeah.
but never have happened, that's beside the point. So, you know, so now, do y'all still love me or not?
Of course.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
See, and that, you know, here,
me personally.
Yeah, go ahead, sis.
I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, you know, me personally, it all boils down to the fact that, excuse my language, that motherfucker should have stayed in the car and a kid died. Doesn't matter what color he was. A kid died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, anyway, that's as far as I'll go.
And having nothing to do with the actual case itself, and I think this is something I should probably have said a long time ago, Dorothy, we don't have to agree on everything for us to love the people that we have on the air with us. And
that's good.
And we don't, it's not, my love is not contingent on us agreeing on everything. Because my sister and I disagree vehemently on lots of things, and I don't just love her because she's Dorian. I love her for who she is. We love you for who you are. We don't have agree. We don't have to agree on a whole host of topics. No pun intended. And we have guests on. We have guests on all the time that I disagree with. But that's my personal opinion about whether or not I agree with you has nothing to do with the fact that you're, and you, this is you and you, the general you. If we have an awesome guest on, that's what matters, that everybody is enjoying the conversation and that everybody is entitled to believe something different.
Well, you know, I kind of like it when people disagree with me because, you know, diversity is the spice of life.
Absolutely.
And if we all agreed on everything, it would be a real dull life, I'm telling you.
We wouldn't have much to talk about. So
you know, my husband and I are generally on opposite ends of the political spectrum.
Uh-huh.
And we have learned to, now I won't do this with just anybody, because
uh-huh.
usually when you talk politics or religion, you wind up with people getting, a little tense and a little testy.
Uh-huh.
But Mark and I have learned to discuss politics, and there are times when something will happen where there'll be some bill that's going, you know, to the Senate floor or something, and he'll say something about it or he'll point it out to me in the newspaper, and
uh-huh.
I will just, you know, spin around, peel me to the ceiling. You know, how could anybody, blah, 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 how ignorant is that? and he'll say, well, now, Dorothy, have you thought about blah, 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 blah? And I've learned to, you know, pause for a minute and kind of process that. And then that may not seem so ridiculous to me, or at least I can see that side of it. Now,
yeah.
I still may not agree,
right.
and that's all right, you know. Mark and I can agree to disagree, but
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times he shows me an angle that I haven't even considered.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's good. That's healthy.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good discourse, and it gives you another opinion without, as long as you're not doing it to each other in a mode where you're attacking the other
yeah.
person's viewpoint. That can work. I find that people, see, like my first husband and I are also on opposite ends, and he's a witch, and
mm-hmm.
we're still on opposite ends of a lot of things, not everything, obviously, but a lot of things. And we have learned that because of the level of passion with which we believe certain things, there are some things we just don't talk about. He's one of my best friends in the world. But there are some topics we cannot approach. So we just leave it like that. And, you know, I love many people who believe the absolute opposite of what I believe. So, it's like I said, it's not contingent on any one thing for me. I love who I love because of who they are, whether or not I agree, separate.
So that means I can breathe a sigh of relief over here.
Oh, you're
oh,
so
heck yeah.
funny. You're so funny.
Oh, God.
Why do people give you a lot of grief for not, like, towing whatever the quote-unquote party line is?
You know, I get more grief over removing things from my Facebook wall.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing when you are in the public eye, even to the small degree that I am.
That's hardly small, but okay.
Well, it is because, you know, it's a niche area, okay? However, you know, but it's because of this that I usually do not voice my political views on my Facebook wall.
Yeah.
I stay neutral, or I try to. So when other people post their political stuff on my Facebook wall, in the interest of their freedom of speech, I will leave it up for about an hour.
Wow.
And then I'll take it down.
Yeah.
And, you know, lately I'm in trouble with some people because they're all worried about the bees being poisoned and this bill that needs to pass. Well, you know what? I know that bees are extremely important to our environment. However, I have, and I'm not making this up, 63 private messages on Facebook about these damn bees.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry.
And I got to tell you, that made me mad at the bees, okay?
Oh, no.
here's the thing. Okay, I care about the bees. I honestly do. But I am more concerned about the hundreds of thousands of children in our country who are going to bed hungry every night.
I'm with you on that.
Okay? Yeah. So save the bees if you want to. But for every bee you save, I want you to feed a kid.
I love it. I think that's brilliant, actually.
That's perfect.
It is perfect. It's great to be elitist when you have that kind of luxury to care about all of these things outside of your control, as opposed to the things you can do for people right near you. It's a very disjointed and disconnected way of caring about the world. It's very easy to say you care about the bees and you want to sign a petition. And I'm not slamming people who do that. But if you really do care about making a change, why not make a change? Hey, charity begins at home. Care about your neighbor. Care about your relatives, you know?
Well,
I
also care about people in other countries.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, what happens is money gets sent over to this place and that place because there's been some disaster. But we forget about our own.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had, you know, pressure put on me to donate this because, you know, we're raising money for this and we're raising money for that. And if it's something here in the United States.
Yeah.
And it looks like, you know, it's a good thing. Okay, yeah, I'll donate. But I think that we need to clean up our own backyard. You know, we have all kinds of homeless people. You know, every year, Mark and I do this thing at Christmas. There's this wonderful shop in Norfolk, Virginia, called Mystic Moon, and they have a tree. A Christmas tree. And they decorate it according to the seasons. But at Christmas time, they put paper ornaments on it with a kid's name or family's name. And on the back of it is what these needy people, you know, need for Christmas.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I usually wait until it's getting really close to Yule. And then I'll call Debbie and I'll find out who she's got left.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people can, you know, sometimes people can do this, that, and the other. You know, they can do something small that's going to make a difference. We have been blessed, and we've been careful. But we're careful because I like to do this kind of stuff at the end of the year.
Aww.
And so, you know, but that's kind of my why and Mark's why of trying to do something right here at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yeah. So anyway, you know, I really wish that people would think about that, you know, before they start sending their money overseas. And gosh, and somebody's going to be really pissed at me. I know one of the listeners probably will be about this, or before they start sending money to some of these big organizations like, you know, Red Cross.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of times, while you think you're doing something good, that winds up paying some administrator salary or bonus.
I've seen it happen, actually.
I agree. I have too.
Yep.
And so your assistance, you know, usually doesn't go where you think it's going to go. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now I'll get off my damn soapbox about that.
No, we like your soapbox.
Oops. I have no problem. You dropped it? What?
Yeah, I dropped my cord. I tried to lean back. I've got my phone plugged in. I'm going to unplug it. It's probably charged. Plug it.
Okay. We hope we don't lose you.
No. I'm still here. Trust me. I'm always lost, but I'm still here.
That's for sure. We're both lost, but we're always here.
There you go.
Yeah, but you know,
the thing you gotta worry about is if I see a squirrel.
Yeah, don't. Please don't. Please don't see a squirrel. I love you. Don't see a squirrel.
I won't.
But it's just, you know, I like that you said all that, quite frankly, because these are things that people don't necessarily think about.
Well, I think maybe it comes with age. you know. And I may have discussed this before with y'all, and if so, God, stop me because I don't want to be redundant. But when I lived in California, my cousin and I realized how much food gets thrown away every day.
Yeah.
Okay, there are a lot, around the Bakersfield area, there are a lot of hog farmers. And they would go to the big grocery store dumpsters about 3 o'clock in the morning, and they would dumpster dive, and they would get all this stuff for hog slop.
Cool.
Which is fine, because grocery stores have to throw, or are supposed to throw away things before the use-by date. So depending on what day it was, sometimes there would be like whole flats of strawberries, flats of tomatoes.
Yeah.
There would be meat. There would be flats of bread, all kinds of stuff. And what we started doing was we would take turns. We had a regular schedule, and you know, several of us would show up about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we would dumpster dive.
Hmm.
There were a whole bunch of homeless people who lived under the bridge at the Kern River. And so we would cook up all kinds of stuff and take it down to them. And it was amazing. And, of course, we wound up with a bunch of stuff for ourselves, too, you know. But, I mean, you know, if it was strawberries, you know, we would do, you know, pies and jam and jelly and all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
And it was, you know, and if it was tomatoes, you know, spaghetti sauce and ketchup and tomato sauce and tomato paste and all this, you know, and because all this stuff goes to waste, and they can't give it to a shelter. FDA makes them throw it out.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
So,
they do.
You know, so this kind of thing, you know, knowing this kind of thing makes me sick when I think about all these kids being hungry.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. Or when I think about a child having to dig in the dumpster for something to eat.
Yeah,
because it happens all the time. You know?
And you've got my sister where she lives, because any time you talk to Dorian about children, she is all on top of that.
Well, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have been known to go after people in parking lots for for being mean to kids. It's like, and I don't care if it's their own kid or not. It's like, no. No, you're going to stay here while I call the cops.
Darling, I got to tell you, though, honey, there is a direct link between the ass and the brain. and if you paddle that ass, it jogs the memory.
Oh, yeah, no. I believe me, I'm not against spanking.
Okay.
You know, and I will say that publicly, my kids get spanked, you know, but they got spanked to the point where all I had to do was give the look. Because once you have that look down, once they know what that look means,
yeah,
they know.
Well, Dorian,
oh,
you know what, darling? That's unless you have a child like I was.
Uh-oh.
because my parents would give me the look and give me 40,000 reasons why I should not ride my tricycle in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I would jump on top of the coffee table so I could be at eye level with them.
Yikes.
And I'd say, I understand all that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Now, you know, there's nothing you can do.
You are a midget terrorist, Dorothy.
Well, you know, I needed a spanking, and I got one, and then I'd settle down. My sister, on the other hand, could be reasoned with. And so I think every child is different.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, what I discovered is that with most children, their parents yell at them.
Yes.
And what I discovered is when you yell at a child all the time, it's like it gets to the point where it's like saying, good morning, darling.
Yes.
Because it's normal. And so
yes.
I learned that when I wanted kids to pay attention to me, I spoke just above a whisper. And the quiet, to start with, they have to pay attention to hear what you're saying. The other thing is they also learned that the softer my voice was, the madder I was.
I could see that about you. I'm afraid of you as shit.
so you know, and that would work. And when I would tell them to go in the living room and watch TV, they did it. Because it was like, oh my God, if she gets any quieter, she's going to kill us all.
I was half tempted to go into the next room and watch TV. I was afraid to myself.
Oh, shit.
You know, and sometimes it's like, you know, with some kids, like with mine, you have to get creative. But I was the same way. You know, my mother, she was young when she had me, or not too young. She was like, you know, 20, 22, 23, and I was also 23 when I had my first son.
Mm-hmm.
And I would throw temper tantrums. Now, thankfully, my kids didn't do it too often, but I would literally throw myself back. I mean, to the point where I cracked my head on the floor and my mother was freaking out, and it got me what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
It got the attention, and she's like, oh, honey, no, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. Well, her doctor, Dr. Ziavada, gave her some advice. He said, next time she does that, don't react to it. Get up, go into the kitchen, get a glass of ice-cold water, walk back in, and throw it in her face.
Yep.
She did it once. I was like, oh, you know, because it's like it went out my nose and I coughed and she walked away. And then a couple weeks later, I think I went to do it again and I was like, ah! And then she just gave me the look and she had a cup right by her and she just reached for it.
Uh-huh.
I immediately stopped.
Yes.
You know, and I have done that to both of my kids. It's like throwing, I mean, just all out hissy fits. It's like, okay, grabbed a glass of ice cold water, poof, right in the face. And it shocks them out of it without hurting them.
Exactly.
You know, but
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, oh, I'm all wet, I feel good. No, you're going to stay in those clothes till they dry.
That's
right. I don't
right.
think so.
Yeah.
What a good solution.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, every once in a while, it's like, yeah, they deserve a good swat. You
yeah.
know? Especially when they're real little. Because, you know, they have to know you can't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. You know, and sticking forks in the plug is not a good idea.
Yeah.
You get yourself a Darwin Award.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've met some people that I wish had done it.
Oh, for sure. I definitely believe in spanking. Once my kids lied to me about being in my room and cutting school, and my children are only 2 years apart, so they hung out together. They had a conspiracy against me and my husband, and we knew the little bastards were plotting. And we busted them because my husband and I each had gotten a phone call home. This is when our kids were little. Well, little being like, I don't know, 12 and 15 at the time, or 11 and 13, and they were cutting school together, and my husband had gotten a call at his job, and I'd gotten a call at my job, and we said, okay, we're going to set these little fuckers up, but good, we're going to go home, we're going to pretend we don't know, and see how long they can keep up the lie to our faces, and we were like, So, boys, how was school? Oh, it was great. We did our homework. And I said, really? You did your homework? I'd love to see your homework. What are you working on? All of a sudden, it's already done. And I'm like, yeah, of course it is, because you're really good at your schoolwork. Let me see your homework. And nobody was coming through. And my husband and I turned around and were like, we know you're not working on homework. We know you haven't done any homework in 3 weeks because you've been cut in school. And all of a sudden, we originally thought it was just the older one. Well, let me tell you what. The younger one ratted out the older one like he was on ice for the electric chair.
Oh, my God.
He screwed his old. What a stoolie. And from that moment on, we knew we had inside information. Well, these children decided that wasn't enough. They were not. I have swords on my walls when we lived in the old house. And the younger one climbed up on my bed and got my sword off the wall, and they knew they weren't supposed to do that. And I came home and I found my sword on my bed, and I was pissed as a motherfucker. I went into their bedroom, and because one was trying to cover for the other, I dragged them at midnight, both of them out of bed. And I made them clean for hours at a time. And it worked, boy. I got into their little heads. They cleaned. And every time they'd say, Mom, can you come in and see if it's clean enough so we can go to sleep? Honey, let me tell you what. You could have eaten off the floor, and I still would have said, it's filthy. Keep cleaning. And that went on for hours, all night long. All night long. My kids can tell you horror stories of how they learned their lessons from their mother.
Damn, you sound like Mommy Dearest.
You know what? Seriously, though, my kids are now adults and respectful people and know to treat, and they know how to treat others, and they know how to treat property, and they know how to show respect for things that cost money and people they love. And that's how I did it. And you know what? I have no shame in my game.
Well, you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have. Because, you know, when you have kids, that your only job is to give them the tools to become responsible grown-ups. That's it.
Absolutely.
And by the time they're 16, they've got the tools. Whether they use them or not is on them.
True.
Yeah. But it's, you know, but it's your job to provide them with those tools and teach them how to use it. And it sounds to me like that's what you did.
Well, yeah. I mean, I may not have. I believe in spankings. I got hit. Just see what a fine, upstanding human being I fucking turned out to be. So I passed that
long.
Well,
I think so.
I know. I'm laughing. I'm sorry.
you're a little biased. No, but seriously, better I teach them than the world, because the world will teach them in ways that don't have any love involved at all.
Well, exactly. And, you know, kids who grow up thinking that being, you know, disrespectful and behaving inappropriately is okay, wind up smarting off to some guy in a bar one night and getting shot. And then whose fault is that? It's the parents' fault.
Right. You didn't raise them right.
Exactly.
But the fact of the matter is that, you know, this whole abdication of being a parent has really annoyed me over the last 20-some-odd years, where it's always reason with the child. Let me tell you what. If the child was reasonable, he wouldn't have done the unreasonable thing to begin with. So obviously you have to instill some kind of value before you can teach reasoning.
It's true. I remember my sisters-in-law and I were going to go out one night. We were in Michigan, and there's a large herd of elk out in this part of Michigan. And so we were going to go out, you know, looking for them. And we had my nephew with us, and he was, I don't know, 3 or 4. And it was cold, and he didn't want to put on his jacket.
Uh-huh.
And so I've got I'm sitting in the back seat with him. I've got his mother and her sister, and they're trying to reason with him to put on his jacket. My mother-in-law comes out, and she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you know, he won't put on his jacket." She says, "You don't reason with a 4-year-old. Put on that damn jacket." And he did, and that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, she raised 7 children.
Yes.
So, you know, and I thought, yes. You know, my mother wouldn't have reasoned with me either over that. You know, it would have been just do it, and you know, we'll go from there.
Basically, yeah. I've had my ass kicked by my father for less offensive things than not wanting to put my jacket on. As a matter of fact, one of the worst beatings I ever got as a child, and I was 16 at the time, was because my coat was hanging in the closet, not facing the same direction as the other coat.
Oh, my God, he must have been military.
You would think so, but no. My father, rest his soul, wherever it is right now, he had some mental issues, which may explain my problems. I don't know. We're still waiting to figure that out. But, no, my father was OCD. Very bad OCD. I do not exemplify any of that.
Well, you know what?
Hmm.
Here's the deal. As ridiculous as that sounds, and no, I'm sure you didn't need a beating for that, but you do realize, don't you, that if there is a fire and all of your clothes are hanging in the same direction, you can usually scoop them with one arm and toss them out the window so that you're not naked.
Well, actually, the closet was right next to the front door. I don't know that that was an issue.
Yeah, it probably wasn't. But that was always the reason that we were given for making sure that they all faced the same way.
Really? You mean it wasn't just, that's not just a weird thing with my father's? That's really something that people do?
Well, That's something we did. Now we never had a fire, but to this day, I do make sure that they're all like that. If we had a fire, I doubt that I would have the presence of mind to grab clothes. I would probably just be grabbing my dog, and that would be it. You know.
Yeah, but you know what? But to this day, my coats do hang in the same direction in the closet.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They do. It's these weird little, you know, idiosyncratic things that you pick up as you grow and as you get older. Like, I suddenly developed a love of green pens in the last year and a half. And
green pens?
Yeah, green pens. Green pens, because if you're writing, you want everything you write to bring money and luck. So I use it magically, and it became this thing. Now, my identifying pen color at work is green. Everyone knows you can't use green. She's the only one that uses green. You bastards have to pick red or blue or something else boring. You can't have the green. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, how funny. That's great.
Oh, yes. It's a magical color. It's a money draw. I use it in conjunction with my wishing oil that I have from your store, Wicked Witch Studios. Thank you very much. No, I do. Now that I, you know, when I got it from you months ago, it became part of my daily ritual. I put the three oils that I got from you on, the Mojo and the Come to Me, and the one we just mentioned that totally flew out of my head. But I combine the three oils together, and they smell amazing. You can combine these oils in any kind of way. They all work together.
It doesn't matter which ones you put together. It always smells good.
It does. That's what I'm saying. That's part of why I love them so much. I've never had a bad combination. So I put it on when I go to my altar for my daily thing that I do. And, yeah, it's wonderful stuff. But I use it before I start writing something important, especially in my business. And I work 12 to 14 hours a day. So I guess I need to place another order soon.
Well, I guess you do. And you know what? If you're just doing magical stuff, mm-hmm. Don't ever discount the use of a gold pen for money.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, and you can pick those up. You know, of course, you couldn't use it at work, but you know, you can pick those up like any place that does like scrapbooking and stuff like that, like any arts and crafts stores like Michael's or Joann's or any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they have gold pens.
Oh, that's cool.
And so you know, occasionally I will use seals.
Yes.
Like the Seal of Solomon or, you know, this or whatever, and I will write what I want on the back of it with a gold pen.
Oh, cool. I never thought about that.
The other little tidbit I've got for you, if I haven't already told you all this, is if you want to amplify any kind of magic, include glitter.
Ooh, I like glitter.
We're going to go there. So, okay, tell me about the significance of the glitter.
It is. It's an amplifier. If you want to bring in money, you know, shop owners and stuff, and I know that they're going to go, oh, my God, that shit's going to get trumped all through my store and so on and so forth. But sprinkle a little glitter, a little gold glitter.
Yeah.
Not silver, because gold is more expensive, right? A troy ounce of gold is a lot more expensive than a troy ounce of silver these days, okay? So use gold glitter and sprinkle a little bit of glitter on your sidewalk up to your door.
I'm writing this down, by the way.
People won't notice the glitter. But it will bring people in, and they will spend money.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to cast that spell at work when no one's there.
For example,
can you apply that online? Because, like, I do a couple of online businesses.
You know, I don't see if you don't mind having glitter on things in your house. You know,
oh, not at all.
Then, you know, I don't see why you couldn't sprinkle a little glitter close to your CPU or your laptop or whatever it is that, you know, whatever computer that you've got. You know, you can give it a shot. I don't see why it wouldn't work. With the Endless Love mixology jar, there's red glitter in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
With the I Spy, which is for people who it's like a witch's bottle, except it doesn't require your urine, And it's for mobile people, for people who don't have a permanent residence, for, you know, people who live, you know, in apartments or a rental property or who move frequently.
Right.
It's got glitter in that.
Ooh, that's cool.
So,
and now
so,
I'm looking
yeah.
in my room glitter.
But yeah, you know, glitter is great because it's reflective on both sides, so it can't help but amplify things.
That's brilliant. I'm buying glitter tomorrow. Gold glitter is on the shopping list for tomorrow, sis.
I'll bring you some. I've got some that you gave me like a while ago. I've actually got gold glitter in my hand right now.
Wow.
Ooh, really? Awesome.
Yep. I got gold and silver and blue, which is my favorite color. Oh, wait, no, that's purple. Anyway, yeah, you're talking about glitter. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, if you go into some of the, some shops that do like some of the hoodoo shops that do the carved candles, you'll find that they have glittered the candles.
Always. That is so true. Everything I ever bought at Enchantments in Manhattan was all every spell candle I ever had. Somebody had glittered.
That's Lady Rhea's shop, is it not?
It was.
Or
maybe it's still I don't know if Alexa's running it now or if Rhea still is.
Okay.
I think actually you're right. I think Rhea does still have it. But yes, I spent many, many, many years listening to stories and time in that shop. I spent many, many hours when I was younger in Enchantment.
I met her at an event. Oh goodness, seven, eight years ago maybe.
Yeah.
And she was more fun. She was my smoking buddy. Yeah, we had a really good time together.
That's awesome.
And extremely knowledgeable.
Yeah.
So anyway, the glitter trick has been around for a while, long time. The other thing is, since you're in North Carolina, you have Spanish malls, right?
Yeah, in some areas.
I think actually we have some. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, That's one of those great little substances that can be used for lots of stuff. To start with, it's parasite.
Cool.
So if you want something, some kind of a magical operation to be long lasting, you include it.
Ah.
Huh.
Because it'll stay right on it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean that's whether it's something that's good or if it's a curse, you know, either way. So, so there are all kinds, you know, so it can be a blessing or a curse. But for people who don't have Spanish moss, you can also find that at an arts and crafts store these days, you know, in a little bag.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because, you know, people use it like in flower arrangements and all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen it. I've seen it in arrangements. That's right. I don't even think about this stuff, and it's around me all the time. I must have a dead spot in my brain again.
Well, but it's because it's around you all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think about it as being magical, but, you know, think about early practitioners.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right.
They had to use what was around them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that a lot of this stuff, you know, is overlooked, you know, simply because we're so used to it, we just kind of don't see it anymore.
I know, and I get really annoyed with myself when you bring something up that I should have that stuck in my brain, and it's not. It's like, oh, yeah, dummy, glitter. How about that? It's been on every spell candle you've ever had. Brilliant.
Well, you know what? Don't feel bad. So, some of this stuff, you know, you think I'm so damn smart, but I'm not really. Some of this stuff was an after 50 epiphany. It was
I'm there.
You know, and you know, I'll be working on something. And it's like, oh, gosh, I could use this because blah 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 blah. And it's like,
yeah.
Where did that come from? You know, it was like all of a sudden it occurs to me, and I give it a shot, and yes, it works. So, I wish that I had realized some of this stuff when I was younger. But,
yeah.
But I think when we're younger, we have too many other things going on.
Yeah.
You know, when our hormones are flying around, all we can think about is, you know, those bad boys that are so cute. and then we get over that, and then it's like, oh, now I've got to make a living, or I've got to raise family, or, you know, I've got people to take care of. I think that we have all these other things on our mind, even though we're practitioners, we don't.
Yeah.
You know, we don't think about these things. So,
well,
I got to tell you,
I'm well past 50 at this point. I'll be 52 in October. So and as far as my hormones are still fucked up, and I still love men like a child. But yeah, you know, life gets in the way sometimes when you're a practitioner because. You're so busy trying to keep everything together. And, I mean, we're like normal people, you know.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get through a day, raising a family, having a business, you know, trying to make our way in the world like everybody else. It's, you know, one of the things that makes me laugh when people are like, oh, all you have to do is wave your magic fuck stick and everything's all fine, you know. It doesn't work that way.
Well, no, it doesn't work like that. You know, if it worked like that, you know, we would all have these lovely, glamorous lives, right?
Oh, yeah. That would be nice.
And, you know, and there wouldn't be a lottery at all because we'd have already won all the money.
That's true. I don't know. I'm pretty
still working on that.
We are still working on that, and I actually do. I am lucky. I have sort of a glamorous life, so I'm a little bit spoiled in that regard. I have to keep bringing myself back to the things that are meaningful to me, as opposed to the things that other people find meaningful. If you know what I mean.
Well, yeah. You know, I don't have a glamorous life, but by God, I've been blessed.
Yeah.
And I,
absolutely.
You know, and I pinch myself. Every day, you know, because, you know, I look back on some of the god-awful situations that I've been in,
mm-hmm.
and I have always come out, okay, I'm not
yeah.
going to say completely unscathed, but okay, and I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So, you know, somebody
yeah.
is looking out for me. I have an absolutely wonderful husband.
Yes, you do.
And yeah, I do. And you know, I'm not the easiest person in the world to live with, and I'm gone a lot, and he works a lot, and it all works well for us. But
yeah.
It wouldn't work well for just anybody.
That's for sure. Your schedule's insane.
And you know, next year I'm not doing any appearances at all. So
really?
Okay. Well, because I've got Wicked Witch Studios.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you know, and I've got these products in retail stores. You know, I'm a one woman sweatshop.
Yes, you are.
And and so and this is so funny because now today I have, you know, I like to piece quilts, and
uh-huh.
I send them to a lady in Harris, New Mexico, who's pagan. To quilt them, and she does a beautiful job. But I bind them once they get here because I like to do that.
Yeah.
So I got one bound yesterday. I wanted to get one done today. I got the binding on, and by God, I walked in the other room to where my computer was. I have a jillion sewing orders that came in today.
Oh, wow.
So... I'm going to be, so now that's going to have to get pushed by the wayside because I've got that to do. And I'm certainly not complaining about it.
Right.
You know, I'm delighted. But you know, if this is going to be a business, then I need to be home to run it. Because every time I'm gone for a weekend, I'm behind on orders.
Wow.
Or I wind up with, you know, with someone who didn't read the web page well and is an international customer, and I don't ship internationally. So then I have to, you know, go in and do a refund and contact them and explain, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, there are things that have to be done. And besides that, you know, I'm getting old and cranky. And you know, and I'm tired. And so if I stay home, that means that I can run around in my ratty jeans without my face on and my husband's old T-shirt.
There you go.
Because the dog doesn't care, and neither does he. But I can't do that if I'm on the road, so I think I need a year off. And then, you know, and this is kind of a trial thing for me because, you know, next year I'm going to be 59. And I need to see if I really want to do all that traveling once I'm 60.
Wow.
I still can't believe you're close to 60.
Me
neither. And please tell me that you didn't get rid of those rockin' boots. Oh, my God.
Those rockin' boots?
Those knee-high, lace-up boots. Oh, my God, girl.
Those weren't knee-high. Those were only, hell, but those were Steve Madden combat boots, believe it or not, with 5-inch heels.
Really?
I love them.
But I did. I gave them to my dear friend Michelle.
Aww.
Because I'm telling you, once I broke my ankle again, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to do that again. In fact, I'm just about to the point where I'm trying to decide if I'm really going to be able to wear heels for any length of time anymore.
Wow.
Because now I have a messed up knee. My left knee is messed up, and my right ankle. So it's kind of like, you know, I feel like I'm falling apart.
No.
So I'm not really, but I hate plants. I hate them.
Me too.
So I'd rather be barefoot. You know, if it can't be flip flops, I'm not sure I want to go.
If you can't wear sandals, Dorothy's not coming to see you. It's that simple.
There
you go.
That's it.
Nothing over an inch and a half. That's it. That's as far as we're going.
Yeah, and you know, and it's going to have to be slacks or a long dress because I don't think anybody's legs look good in flats unless they weigh 89 pounds soaking wet.
Oh, God, that's not me.
Well, that's never been
made. On those bitches. I know, and I hate to do this. We're almost out of time. We've only got a few minutes left. I don't know where the time went. We always enjoy talking to you so much.
Oh, honey, I always have such a good time. I love y'all, too. And, you know, I may just have to make a trip to North Carolina just because, maybe next year.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Either that or we're going to have to make a trip to come see you wherever you're at, lady.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That could be arranged.
Awesome.
I think that would be so much fun. Woo, road trip. Hell yeah.
Road trip. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, and that way I could leave the kids home with daddy.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Couple days, no kids? Ooh, yes. Thank you. Yes, please, and thank you.
Yeah, seriously. I have a hard enough time getting you out of the house down the street just to see your own sister. Thank you.
I know. Well, I'm coming over tomorrow. Screw it. I'm sneaking out.
Good. You better.
I'm grab the keys and run.
All right.
Well,
we have to say goodnight to our Dorothy. We love you.
I love you all too. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
And we are going to be talking to you again in October. We're so excited.
Yes, you are. I'm excited, too.
And I will do more about sending you the reminder.
Okay. Be sure and do that. But I've got you on the calendar.
Yay. Thank you so much. Love you so
Thank
much.
You.
And we will talk to you soon.
Okay. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. And everybody, make sure you go to Wicked Witch Studio. The products are awesome and they work. And I'm not kidding. I love
yeah.
your stuff. And it occurs to me with the things I'm going through right now that I actually do need something. But I may have to consult with her first as to which product I should get. But anyway, that's my personal
yeah.
issue. Don't mind me, folks. But, yes, sis, we're about out of time.
Yes, we are. You can find all of her links on our blog or if you go to our Facebook page. But until next week, when Jade returns again, yay,
yes.
and I got to tell you about all about my reading, and you'll have
yes.
had yours by then.
I will.
But we love you guys and great blessings, and we will talk to you all next week.
Love y'all.
Bye.